and the year of our Lord 2020. Amen. And he has graced us to see it and to experience it. I do want to say right here that God has been mighty good to us.
Amen.
We're sitting back on him this morning as though he holds us, so we don't hold him. Amen. I just want to say the mystery of the church and house.
Amen.
Things happen for a reason. And I got the memo late and I was reading the song. Amen. Y'all look like your pastor. Your pastor, if he ain't at least been through it once, he ain't gonna say anything that you give to God ought to be your very best.
That's right. That's right.
And I didn't have my very best to present him for intentional, so I just thank you, Minister Lassiter. Amen. But I do have a word that he gave to me. We didn't know it, but we were beginning a series of messages, and this would probably conclude the message dealing with vision. If it's one thing that we need to move forward into this year 2020, that is vision. Somebody say vision.
Vision.
On last occasion, message we preached was write the vision. Amen.
Amen.
And you can't write the vision unless you catch the vision. Amen.
Amen.
And we learned on last occasion you can't catch the vision unless you are positioned right. Let me somebody say, are you positioned right?
Are you positioned right?
Yeah, the message came from Habakkuk. Habakkuk says, I'm going to set myself on a tower. You follow me. In other words, he said, I'm going to set myself in a high place. Now, what you got to understand is, in order to get the vision of God, it don't mean climb a tree. Amen. It don't mean get in the highest building. It has nothing to do with proximity of body, but it does have to do with proximity of mind and spirit. Have I got a witness?
Amen.
In other words, when we say get in the tower, we're talking about taking the high road. You know, we got folk that's going to take the low road in 2020. Y'all ain't going to say nothing.
All right, God.
But we got to take the high road. Let me somebody say, we got to take the high road. In other words, when they go low, we got to go high. That's what it means, getting in a high place. And you can't hear high things unless you are in a high place. Amen. We understood it also, we learned that God is the one that gives the vision. Yeah, yeah. Now vision, we also learned, is different than a goal. Goal is what we set for ourselves. Vision is what God gives us. Look, somebody say, have you got the vision yet? I gave you a homework assignment because we understand also that there's different kinds of visions. There are individual visions that God gives to, let me see, he gives to the leader of the family a vision. Y'all hear me? Amen. If you are a leader of your family, you ought to have a vision for your family. Amen.
Amen.
Even if it ain't nobody but you, God gives individual vision because we need a vision for our life. If I got a vision, you need to have some direction in where you are headed. Amen.
Amen.
Today, we talk about writing a vision, but today we want to bring the vision to fruition. In other words, today we want to go from vision to victory.
All right.
Is that all right? Say that with me. From vision to victory. In other words, after you write it down, if nothing happens, you're not going to have the victory. Somehow or another, we got to get it off the paper. into the atmosphere.
All right.
Have I got a church in there?
Amen.
As you stand to your feet for the reading of this verse, found in Proverbs. Somebody say Proverbs.
Proverbs.
It is found in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. That is our verse of focus. As a matter of fact, it's the A part of the verse. We're going to focus on the A part of the verse. There's an A and a B. You may not see that in your Bibles, but there's an A and a B in that verse. We're going to read the verse in its entirety as a family if you have the King James rendering. Then we're going to go back and read just the first part. That's our focus for today. Are you with me?
Amen.
For the book of Proverbs, chapter 29, verse 18, 1, 2, 3, read.
Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he.
Now, I want you to read just that first part. In my Bible, it has a colon. I want you to stop at that colon or that comma. Amen? 1, 2, 3, read.
Where there is no vision, the people perish.
I'm sorry, I missed that. Let's go one more time. 1, 2, 3, read.
Where there is no vision, the people perish.
Again, I want you to pray with me on the topic for me. Vision to victory. Eternal God, it's preaching time. Nothing occurs unless you speak now, Father. Speak through your preacher. You know who is here. You know who we stand in need of. Make me, Father, into an effectual word. It's my prayer. Make our hearts and our minds, even our spirits, receptive of your word, your will, and your way. Bless us now, God, that we might hear from on high, that we might think differently than when we came. Our prayer, God, is that what happens here today in faith would last longer than what happens here today in faith in a good way. Somebody say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may take your seats in presence as the assembly of God. And vision to victory. And first of all, we understand the fact that Habakkuk, the name Habakkuk means to grasp. It means Habakkuk means to embrace. Embrace. We must embrace the inevitable, things that we can't change. And Habakkuk did not like what was, he didn't like the vision. The first thing that we need to understand about vision is that before you can have vision, you got to have burden. Somebody say burden. The book of Habakkuk opens up in chapter 2, the very first verse in chapter 2 says, the burden, I can't find it, I'm trying my best. Satan, I want this thing to go forth, but it's going forth anyhow.
Amen.
It says, the burden of Habakkuk. Somebody say, burden.
Burden.
It is understandable that in order for us to have vision, we must first be burdened. And the reason we must be burdened with it, the only way that the vision can be carried out, and the only way that this burden can be relinquished is that we must do it. See, when I got the vision that I was going to preach, it became a burden to me. Not because I didn't want to do it, but I wasn't going to be satisfied until I did it. Come on, somebody. So when God gives us a vision, he gives us a burden. Somebody say burden. And it becomes heavy on our lives. It weighs us down. And the only way that we can satisfy and relinquish that weight is that we must get busy doing what we have seen God showing us. Somebody say burden. We see in 1 Corinthians where Paul said in chapter 8, verse number 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel.
Well,
y'all hear me?
Amen.
When God gives you vision, it becomes a burden until you start doing what the vision is. Come on, somebody. I gave you an assignment to ask God for the vision. So we're just going to look at this just to recap what we said. First thing we know is that vision is individual, but it's also collective. I gave you an individual assignment on last Sunday. I said, go back and just sit and watch as a Martha did and wait for God to show you a vision.
Well,
I hope you did. And after he shows you the vision, then I told you to write it down and to make it plain. And this wasn't a goal, like I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to save some money. Y'all getting quiet with me. Yeah, that's vision. See, the problem is that we say we have visions, but really all we have is a goal. That's because, you know, around February, we start off real good losing weight. We eat it right. We ain't drinking no sodas and using less sugar. But about February, y'all don't want to say nothing. Some of us are going to the gym. We got new gym membership. I ain't a beat about in here. We going just as faithfully every week, two or three times a week. But come February, you look in the mirror and say, you know, I don't look so bad. Y'all ain't going to say nothing. That's a goal. I'm not telling you. Nothing wrong with set goals. You set goals, but we give ourselves a goal. God gives vision.
Well,
somebody say he gives it.
He gives.
So first thing we need to understand is that God gives the vision. And then we said that we have to separate ourselves in order to see the vision. Come on, somebody. In other words, 2019, we have to leave some stuff behind. Y'all,
amen. Amen.
2019 might mean that we need to leave some folk behind.
Amen.
Yeah, I know we want to take everybody with us, but everybody was meant to go with us.
Amen.
Not all the way. But somebody say they're there for a season. You got to understand that some folk are in your life for a season, and other folk are in your life for a reason. You got to differentiate that those who are there for a season, you got to let them go. Somebody say, let them go. The Bible says that Abram told Abram to go and get thee into a far country. The Bible says that he took his wife Sarai, but Lot went. Look, somebody say you got to get rid of Lot.
You
got to get rid of the lots in your life. Lot was nothing but a leech. Somebody say you got a leech in your life. Can I talk right there, right there for a minute? Let me tell you something about a leech. A leech will be there and they won't make no trouble, no noise. They quiet. But every time you look up, they dead. You don't know it, but they're sucking something out of you. You ain't gonna say it, man. Because listen to this, you won't feel the pain until you break the leech's hold on your life. They'll sit right there. That leech will suck the very blood out of your life. What am I saying? I'm saying you gotta get rid of the lots of the world.
Come on now. Amen.
They look like they're your friend. But why is it when you go out, you always pay? Come talk back to me if you can. Why is it that when you go out, you always drive? Y'all ain't gonna say nothing.
You pray.
Why is it that when we gotta go out somewhere, you always coming over to my house? Lord, have mercy. Why is it that at birthday time when people give presents, why don't I give I just want to give my three little points and I'll take my seat. The first thing you need to understand about vision is that God gives it. Look, somebody say, God gives it.
God
gives vision. But notice this, in order for God to give vision, there has to be somebody on the receptive end.
Come on.
All right. You hear me? Now, when it comes to church, I'm going to teach you a thing. When it comes to church, God has a way of giving vision to his church. But notice that the vision in Habakkuk chapter 2 that they're talking about going back and forth, notice that God did not give the vision to Judah.
All right.
Are y'all with me? Y'all, that's this way y'all need what? God did not give the vision to Judah, but he gave it to Habakkuk to give to Judah.
All right.
For the church, the vision does not come in through the deacon board.
All right.
This is where you're going to get what? But this is where I'm going to preach a little bit louder.
All right.
The vision does not come through the trustee board.
All right.
Have I got a church that can't lay in? The vision does not even come from the pew.
All right.
Don't tell me how to preach and what to preach. Why? Because you didn't get the vision.
That's right.
I did. The vision don't come from the drummer, the minister of music, or the choir. It comes from God through the preacher. Don't take my word for it. You know I'm going to show you. In the book of Amos, if I could find it, Lord have mercy, help me, Holy Ghost. Might be one I didn't point out. In the book of Amos, I know it by heart. You can search it for yourself. The Bible says, I'm going to paraphrase it, he gives the secret to his prophets. Somebody said to his prophets. Whether you realize it or not, faith is blessed not because they have me as a pastor, but because they have a pastor, and I'm blessed because it is me. I love somebody. Faith is blessed not because they have me as a pastor, but faith is blessed because they have a pastor. I'm blessed because it's me. I get to serve. What am I saying? I'm saying if it won't be and you had a pastor, you would still be blessed. Why? Because God has determined that his vision is going to go to the church through the preacher. Or through the prophet.
Amen.
Or through the bishop. Since I don't call myself a prophet, I don't call myself a bishop, I do call myself a pastor.
Amen, pastor.
Because I am a shepherd. That's what makes faith blessed.
Yes.
Lord, have mercy. Don't somebody say you're blessed.
Blessed.
And the reason that you're blessed is because you have a pastor.
Amen.
My brother right now, they're going through something because they are without a pastor.
Amen.
And the Bible said here in this proverb, I used to think that the word was saying, where there's no vision, the people perish. I used to think that meant that the people just die or destroy. But that ain't what it means, y'all. Can we go deep?
Yeah.
Turn it. Don't you be looking at it with me. Proverbs 29. Verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. That word perish is from the Hebrew word harah. Those note takers, P-A-W-R-A-H. It means to perish. But what you must understand, it came from a Hebrew biblical proverb where a woman's hair, usually all the women wore their hair, it was banded down and tight on their head. But when they took the band off, and let their hair flow in the wind, their hair went everywhere. Can I teach you a thing? Perish means no direction. I wish I had a balloon right here. If I had a balloon, you just sanctify the nation with imagination. I would blow the balloon up real big, and I would let it go. Somebody say, that's perish. If I let the balloon go, where is it going to go? Is it going to go in a straight line?
No.
Well, what is it going to do? It's going to go everywhere. Brad has no vision. The people go everywhere. The people say anything. The people do anything. Hold on to that person. Brad has no vision. The people cuss. Drink. Y'all ain't going to say nothing in here. Vision. Why? Because vision puts on restraint. And the preacher tells you that you ain't supposed to cuss. For out of the same mouth comes both cursings and blessings. The Bible says that ought not be. What am I saying? I'm saying the Bible is teaching us that we need someone to give us direction of the word. And the direction of the word lets us know very plainly that we are restrained by the wisdom of the word. Or how can they know unless they feel? Come on, somebody.
Amen.
How can, Bible says, how can they believe of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear unless they have a preacher?
Amen.
And how can you preach unless they be sent? Come on, somebody.
Amen.
I want you to know, hopefully you won't have to deal with this you won't have to deal with this no time soon, but in the event that you are picking a pastor, don't pick them by the way they preach.
All right. Amen.
If you pick your pastor from the way they preach, you're going to have a preacher and not a pastor. y'all got to
amen, pastor.
Why is it so important for us to know who our deacon is at faith? I heard that in my spirit, nobody said it, but I heard it. Why do I have to know who my deacon is? Because the deacons are here to serve you. And it is the vision of this particular pastor that the deacons are the ones who serve the congregation.
Amen.
Why? Because I can't be all places at one time.
That's right.
Even me, we only have, how many deacons do we have?
Five.
We only have five deacons, but when I correspond to all of the deacons, I go through Deacon Burke. Why? Because he's my channel. Since he's the chairman of the board, I give it to him. He gives it to the rest of them. Y'all ain't gonna say
amen.
Because that shows order, that shows direction, that keeps me from having to call five times when I could just call one time. I wish I had somebody there. Why does the Lord choose to send his vision through one person? Because it's less confusing.
Yep.
If you gave vision to everybody, about 10 folk, there'd be 10 different visions. No, they don't say nothing. Somebody say less confusion. It's less confusion if it goes from one person. Don't make me any smarter. Doesn't make me a person any smarter. All it does is make him the leader. Oh, have mercy.
Amen.
So, how can we bring this vision and get it on paper and bring it to fruition? The first thing you must need to know, again, is that God gives it to the preacher gives it to the people. And when the people get it, somebody say you got to echo it.
Yeah.
Oh, you Lord have mercy. We know what an echo is.
Yeah.
If we were, I guess, I don't know if the Grand Canyon makes an echo or not, but if we were in a place that echoed, and I cried out, "Lou," do you think the echo would come back green?
No.
When would it come back?
Blue.
Because the echo says the same thing as the original.
All right.
Which might say, you got to echo the vision.
You got to echo the vision.
What I'm saying, you need to say it.
All right.
Y'all hear me?
Yeah.
I said, what I'm saying, you need to say it. Then what I'm preaching, you need to preach.
Yeah.
I said, I'm not, it's your own preacher. We are all ministers called by God.
Amen.
What should you be preaching? If you're not preaching from the word, you ought to be preaching from your experience. Y'all missed that.
All right,
that was the price of the vision right there. Have you noticed that songwriters, famous songwriters, who have had hit
after hit after hit. All it is a picture of their life.
Uh-huh.
Somebody say your life story.
Your life story.
How can a preacher preach effectually unless he experienced what he's talking about?
Amen.
That's what makes preaching good. The more a person has been through, the more that God has carried them through and brought them through, that makes them that much more of an effectual warrior. Shame on the one that say they want to be a minister. And I'm not called.
Amen.
Lord have mercy. Somebody say echo.
Echo.
We got the echo vision. We got to say what we hear and see. And then after we say it, I'm gonna close with this little funny scenario. It's not really a funny scenario, but it's a nice little antidote. Those of you who are note takers, you should be taking notes every sermon you hear. Somebody say vision.
Vision.
The V is for visualizing. Somebody say visualizing.
Visualize.
You got to see it before you see it.
Amen.
I keep telling you that. I'm talking to the one man. He want a new house. You got to see yourself in a new house. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm talking to the one man. All you, I just, one time in my life, how many times did they say, I just want to get a new car? But before you get in a new car, you got to see yourself in that car. No. I didn't say a new car. I said that car.
Amen.
In other words, you got to make the vision plain. I wanted a Silverado.
All right.
Chevrolet.
All right. Amen.
Nobody gonna say that.
Amen, pal.
And before I got my first Silverado Chevrolet, we would go by the parking lot where they kept them, where they were stored.
Mm-hmm.
It would be thousands of them. And I would see myself in one. Y'all ain't saying
nothing. Amen. Amen.
I'm talking to one man. You wanna be married? You got to see yourself married. Oh Lord, have mercy. I'm talking to one man. You looking for Mr. Right? I told you last Sunday. You ain't got Mr. Right yet because you're business wrong. Ain't gonna hook up Mr. Right with Mrs. Wrong. So what are you supposed to be doing? You ought to be getting right. That's why I say you get it right. What I mean by getting right, Mrs. Wrong, learn how to cook. You better be young girls, maybe you cook. No, I don't cook. I said to myself, you're hoping to be by yourself. Keep your room clean, because one time, well, sometime or another, that room will turn into a house.
Amen.
And if you don't keep your room clean, you're going to have a nasty house. To bring a vision to fruition, you got to have a plan. Look at my say, you got a plan.
Yeah.
If you don't have no plan, it's been really said correctly that if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Look, somebody say, have you got a plan?
You got a plan.
You want that house, you better get a plan. You want that car, you better get a plan. You want that man, you better get a plan. Ain't nobody say amen, amen. I say get a plan. One part of strategizing is you got to set a plan, and then you got to get some steps in order to achieve the plan. Somebody say step one.
Step one.
Step one might be get a job. Step two might be save some money. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
If you gotta have a down payment, stop spending everything.
Amen.
Start putting some money aside and say, this is my car that I'm saving for.
That's right.
Put $50 a week.
That's right.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Y'all ain't gonna say nothing. Stop going out so much and making McDonald's rich. I heard that. I'm going to McDonald's. Well, stop going to the Olive Garden. Go to the Olive Garden. You don't say to me in this one, you're lying. Stop going to the Golden Corral. Stop going to the fish place every Friday.
Same way.
Amen.
Y'all talk back to me.
Amen.
Yes.
If everything is going peachy cream in your life, that means you and the devil are going the same way.
Yeah.
This morning when I was trying to come to church, everything got in the way.
Amen.
The recorder, I couldn't find the recorder. We're looking around, I couldn't find the recorder. After this, something else happened. And I said, you know what? I must be on the right track. If you're having a hard time in life, that means that what God has in store for you must be pretty big. Somebody say, overcome. The end is for necessity. Somebody say necessity. I love that word necessitate. That word necessitate means that I must bring to fruition. I got to do what I got to do to bring to fruition this vision that God has given me, because this probably should have been first. V-I-S-I-O-N. That M, the necessitate probably should be first, because it's going to take a burden for me to have stick-to-itiveness to bring this vision to fruition. And what I mean is, God has to burden me. I go back to my little vision when I saw the hand of God pointed at me, who was being an epileptic, and said, go preach. Let me tell you something. Nobody was excited about being a preacher with me. So what am I saying? Don't worry if no one catches excitement about your vision. Y'all hear me? If nobody gets excited but you still know you're on the right track. And how do you know it's a vision? You know it's a vision when I had to tell Annette, if you don't come with me, I gotta go by myself.
Amen.
Why? Because I'm burdened down. This is bothering me. And the only way for this to stop bothering me is I got to do it. So I say, you got to do this. You have to do vision. You can't talk about it. You can't worry about it. You got to do vision. Visualize it. Internalize it. Strategize it. Initiate it. Overcome anything that stands in the way of performing it. And then necessitate it. Give God a hand of praise. Somebody say, write the vision.
Write the vision.
Make it plain.
Make it plain.
So we get individual visions for our families, for our very lives. We ask God to give it, God gives it to us. Understand, when you come to church, the vision has already been given to the preacher. To the preacher. And then everybody has to buy into what the preacher sees. I try to get you to see what I see. I heard that. Well, I don't even know what the vision for faith is. Let me tell you, the vision for faith is one of a multiplicity of dimensions. I'm going to say it again. The vision for faith is a one of multiplicity in nature. Why? Because it's not just one thing that I see. I see several things that brings us to one thing. Lord have mercy. When where we're sitting, when this place was nothing but trees, bushes, and briars, and an old house was on it, I saw a church.
All right.
Right smack dab in the middle of all them bushes and weeds and briars and probably snakes. And I tried to get the deacons to see what I see, so I told them, I said, follow me.
All right, Pastor.
I just kept walking.
All right,
Pastor. Move the briars out of the way. Move the bushes out of the way. Deacon Moore was worried about stepping on a snake. I told him, I said, snakes got to move my house. Why? Because snakes can come to the obstacle. So I said, obstacles got to move out of the way of vision.
Yes.
He walked around the property.
Yes.
Y'all ain't gonna say that.
Yes.
And every time of us are empty space in the midst of them bushes, and then we grab each other's hand and we're in the prayer. Yes. Somebody say, I'm talking to God about that. We claimed it as ours.
Yes.
Y'all hear me?
Amen.
They went to the bank. We ain't went to, we know we're gonna have to take money. Y'all hear me? But our part is called the what?
Huh?
Our God thought is called the what?
Empire.
Our thought, we did it. It was possible for us to walk around and claim it. It was possible for us to grab hands, hold on to each other, and believe for it. But God had to do the impossible. He had to provide over $600,000. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing. To a little old country church. But that ain't where the vision stops. Somebody say, that ain't where it stops. Y'all can't see it, but there's another building right beside it. I'm trying to get you to see what I see. I'm trying to get you to know what God has told me. We didn't even know it, but it's right beside this building and it's bigger. And it's better. Somebody say step. But before we can get to that building, we got to feed on this building. That's my burden. And I'm trying to, let me tell you something about Christians. The way we Christians get folk to do things for us is we make our problem become their problem. What I'm trying to do is make my burden become your burden. Look at these empty pews in here. I don't know about, I hope that starts to bother you at night. I hope that starts to keep you up at night to the point you can't sleep.
Great stuff.
Listen to this. Pastors don't make sheep.
Make sheep.
What am I saying? These pews are empty because y'all ain't doing something. The challenge for 2020 is to get 3 people saved.
All right.
This is why I say everybody.
Who's
the mention of neighbor? It's a neighbor.
Neighbor.
You're responsible for 3 souls. Getting 3 souls. Wait. Let me quantify that. That don't mean getting the church to change churches. If they're already in church, they're off limits. Did you hear me? If they're already in church, don't you ask them to come and join faith. I'm not telling you to do that. But find somebody that's out of church. And you know what? You can start in your own family. You ain't got to go to college. I said 3 people. Somebody said 3 people.
3 people.
3 people who are unchurched. That means they're not going to church. What am I saying? The ones that call themselves faith, your responsibility is to get them to start coming to faith. Because if they ain't here, they're not a part of us. Their name might be written on the road here, but their name ain't written in the book of life. People, their name's written in the book of life. Did you hear me? Somebody say 3 people. That's me included. I'm going to do it till I'm not commissioned to do it. I'm commissioned to preach the word. But I'm going to do it to y'all. I know I try to do whatever, but I ain't going to tell you to do something that I won't do. Somebody say 3 people.
3 people.
That is the number of completeness. 3 unsaved souls. If every member of faith got 3 unsaved souls to come to church and to become a part of us, the pews would be full. Somebody say that's step 1. That's step number 2. That's step number 2. Step number 2. Step number 3, once they are full, then we can start looking over here. We can't get over here until this is here. Give God your time. Somebody say vision.
Vision.
God has given me a vision. And the vision he has made plain. The vision that I have, the congregation looks different. I see some Hispanic brothers and sisters. I see some Caucasian brothers and sisters. Did you hear
me? Amen.
I think being a living under the auspices, not of change, but being comfortable. We only invite those people who are like us. Y'all don't say nothing. And we only invite those people who are like us because we only invite the people who are where we are, where we are. In 2020, I want you to go into some different places. I want you to go into some different places and to talk to some different faces. I want you to talk to somebody that ain't like you. I want you to talk to some people who are tatted up. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing.
Amen, Pastor.
Y'all ain't gonna say, I said, you know, what is it that we have against tattoos when we have
them? Amen.
We got them, you just ain't seen them. I know you're gonna get quiet, right? I'm telling you that the vision that I see, the folk don't look like us. God's garden has a lot of different colored flowers.
Yes, it does.
Y'all ain't gonna see nothing.
Yes, it does.
And God has told me to let you know that Faith Missionary Church should look like the world.
Amen.
Which means that we're going to have to start singing different songs. Come on, somebody. We'll always stick close to the hymns, but it might necessitate us going out of the realm of our comfort zone and being a little bit more fluid in our inclusivity. Being inclusive. Did you hear me? Not only with the way people look, but also by the way people live. Y'all hear me?
Amen.
I'm talking to the one now. You don't even associate with people who are gay. Ooh, we got quiet.
Go ahead, now.
Can I say right here, you're no better than they are? You just made a different choice. Did you hear me? You just made a different choice. And if not for the grace of God, there go I.
That's right. Amen.
God's church loves everybody.
Amen.
Where they are, especially where they are. And listen to this. When they come, and they're going to come, when they come, don't you try to clean them up.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Don't you try to tell them how to live. You live like they ought to live. Because how can they believe what you say when your example looks so different? Oh, y'all ain't saying
that. Amen, Pastor.
I'm talking to the parent now. You don't want your children to smoke, don't you smoke?
That's right.
You don't want your children to drink, don't you drink?
That's right.
You don't want your children staying out all the time tonight, don't you stay out all the time tonight? I know you get quiet right now.
Amen.
Lord have mercy. So we invite everybody. There's a caption in the Bible where a net was thrown. And it brought in all kinds of fish. We are fishermen. Look at somebody say, we are fishermen.
We are fishermen.
We are taught how to catch men. We catch them. This is the net. We bring them right here. But we don't try to clean them. We just catch them. But somebody say, don't you try to clean them. Just catch them. That's all you do is just catch them. The Holy Spirit will clean them.
Yes.
Y'all, have I got to wait?
Yes.
The Holy Spirit will clean them. We don't have to clean them. We're just to catch them. We extended Christian invitation to those who may not know Christ.